Kingdom Exhortations. September 2025. Read by Stephen Keysweater.
Good morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the Apostle Paul gives us the most extensive instructions on marriage found anywhere in the Bible. Ironically, some 9 times throughout the chapter, he says that it's better to remain single and wholeheartedly devoted to Jesus, but concedes that, because of temptation and immorality, almost everyone should get married. He also exhorts married couples to fulfill one another's sexual desires without holding back or denying intimacy. Quote, "Now for the matters you wrote about, it is good for a man not to marry. But since there is so much immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. In the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. Do not deprive each other, except by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again, so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I say this as a concession, not as a command. I wish that all men were as I am. But each man has his own gift from God. One is this gift, another is that." 1 Corinthians 7, verses 1 through 7. Paul is clear that biblical marriage is between a man and a woman and is a lifelong commitment. Even if one partner is an unbeliever, the believer should remain and pray for the salvation of their spouse. Because one parent is a believer, any children are still blessed, sanctified, with the presence and influence of Jesus to help lead them to faith and salvation. When a married couple has been separated or divorced, it's the will of Jesus to have reconciliation. When one or both parties are unwilling, he allows for remarriage to someone else if they don't have the gift of singleness. Quote, "Now to the unmarried and the widows I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried as I do. But if they cannot control themselves, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. To the married I give this command, not I, but the Lord. A wife must not separate from her husband. But if she does, she must remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband. And a husband must not divorce his wife. To the rest I say this, I, not the Lord, if any brother has a wife who is not a believer and she is willing to live with him, he must not divorce her. And if a woman has a husband who is not a believer and he is willing to live with her, she must not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy." 1 Corinthians 7, verses 8 through 14. If someone is married to an unbeliever and the unbeliever leaves the marriage because of their spouse's Christianity or for other reasons, the believing spouse can be at peace. They too may seek to be remarried to a believer in Christ if they find they have need of emotional and physical companionship. What's important is that, after they have received him as Savior, every believer must labor to follow the heart of Christ for their lives as revealed in the Scriptures. Quote, "But if the unbeliever leaves, let it be so. The brother or sister is not bound in such circumstances. God has called us to live in peace. How do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife?" 1 Corinthians 7, verses 15 and 16. Perhaps the most significant aspect of this chapter is Paul's low view of human circumstances in comparison to being saved and living for Christ. He is consistent in his stance and teaching wherever he goes. Paul is far more concerned about being in Jesus and living for Jesus than he is about circumcision or even slavery. He tells them to be free from human slavery if possible, but expects them all to be slaves to Jesus, whether they are indentured or not. Quote, "Nevertheless, each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned to them, just as God has called them. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches. Was a man already circumcised when he was called? He should not become uncircumcised. Was a man uncircumcised when he was called? He should not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's commands is what counts. each person should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although, if you can gain your freedom, do so. For the one who was a slave when called to faith in the Lord is the Lord's freed person. Similarly, the one who was free when called is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of human beings. Brothers and sisters, each person, as responsible to God, should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 17 through 24. It's interesting that Paul assumes sexual purity for those who have never been married and gives instructions to them as, quote, virgins. His commands are consistent with the other situations and makes it clear that getting married to a believer in Christ is not sinful. It's very important for those who are married to not make an idol out of their spouse or marriage. Indeed, we should not be absorbed or bound by anything in this world. We ought to always be loving and kind and faithful to our spouse, but our ultimate fidelity is always to Jesus Christ our Lord. Quote, now about virgins, I have no command from the Lord, but I give a judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. Because of the present crisis, I think that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you pledged to a woman? Do not seek to be released. Are you free from such a commitment? Do not look for a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you this. What I mean, brothers and sisters, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they do not, those who mourn as if they did not, those who are happy as if they were not, those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep, those who use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them. For this world, in its present form, is passing away. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 25 through 31. All of us who have been married for any length of time can testify that biblical marriage is not easy. It takes real commitment and dedication to have a successful marriage that's honoring to Christ as well as pleasing to our spouse. Marriage is hard and, by necessity, divides our devotion. This is why Paul is so adamant about the benefits of singleness. Nonetheless, if we do not have the gift of singleness, if we desire fulfillment and companionship, we should not keep putting it off. We should get married to a believer in Christ. Quote, I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. If anyone is worried that he might not be acting honorably toward the virgin he is engaged to, and if his passions are too strong and he feels he ought to marry, he should do as he wants. He is not sinning. They should get married. But the man who has settled the matter in his own mind, who is under no compulsion but has control over his own will, and who has made up his mind not to marry the virgin, this man also does the right thing. So then, he who marries the virgin does right, but he who does not marry her does better. A woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives, but if her husband dies, she is free to marry anyone she wishes, but he must belong to the Lord. In my judgment, she is happier if she stays as she is, and I think that I too have the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 32 through 40. Let us go now and determine to follow the clear biblical mandate regarding marriage, divorce, and remarriage. If you possess the rare gift of singleness, having no compulsion for physical or emotional intimacy in companionship, then peacefully enjoy a life of growing in pure devotion to Jesus, without the responsibilities and difficulties that come with marriage and children. Marriage is a beautiful gift, given to us by our Heavenly Father, for the advancement of His kingdom and the glory of His name. It is for this life only. We will not be married to our spouse in heaven. Although marriage is a temporary earthly institution that will not transcend this life, it is essential that we do not take the covenant of marriage lightly. Marriage is for life. If we have had a failed marriage, we earnestly repent and seek to avoid the same mistake in any future marriage. Quote, some Pharisees came to him to test him. They asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? Haven't you read, he replied, that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Matthew 19, verses 3 through 6. Finally, we must always remember that every genuine Christian, whether single or married, is married to Jesus in spirit. We are part of the body of Christ and the bride of Christ. Quote, this is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. Ephesians 5, verse 32. This union with Jesus is so profound and meaningful that it takes precedence over all our earthly possessions, relationships, and circumstances. We must labor to hold everything and everyone else lightly in comparison to Jesus Christ our Lord. Quote, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Luke 14, verses 26 and 27. As we make Jesus a greater priority in our relationships and circumstances, we will enjoy a better, more fulfilling, and more productive life, whether we are married or single. Quote, in this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. Ephesians 5, verses 28 through 30. May God bless you all. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 9.